Good morning. My name is Jones. If mankind is basically good, why can't he ever really solve, emphasis on solve, his problems? You know, if you read the newspaper, a lot of people have given up on that, but some still read the newspaper. You watch the news on TV. There's war. Wherever you look, there's a fighting or a breakout or a rebellion somewhere. The national economy is always tanking. There are difficulties. People are losing their jobs. They have difficulty with their personal finances. Taxes go up. Income goes down. Their marriage may have difficulties, and a lot of marriages are breaking up. Child rearing is a problem. Children are becoming independent. They don't like the religion or the lifestyle. And then, of course, a big one all over the USA in the last few years seemed like is health. People's health is not really good, and they're suffering from bad health. Why is that man can't seem to solve his problems? As I said, we know that we weren't born with something evil in us. We were neutral. We've learned over the years that has formed our culture, and our decisions have been made by that. Why can't we do what's right? We say we want to do what's right. We try to do what's right, but often it seems that things just don't turn out right. Just don't turn out right. Why? Why? Is there a cause? And if there is, what is it? Well, let me give you a present-day illustration that may help us to see the answer to those questions. I don't know if you studied about pharmaceuticals that much. We have a lot of pharmacy companies now. From time to time, pharmaceutical companies withdraw a well-known drug that's been being taken by people for years. The reason it is withdrawn, what is wrong this morning? The reason I didn't spit in it. The reason it has been withdrawn is bad results. They withdrew this famous pharmaceutical because it had bad results. It suddenly became, they became aware of the fact that it causes cancer in quite a few people. The very item that promised relief is now found to produce disastrous results. We see that in the pharmaceutical companies. And of course, then they lose money because of that. So, if mankind is basically good, why does this happen? Well, it would seem obvious in the light of this pharmaceutical company that mankind has been imbibing the wrong information. And you don't know that. The very thing that man has been taking to solve the problem is now seen to be the cause of the problem. The information that he's been taking into his mind, as was given in the sermonette. The man didn't know it at the time, but he was making some not so good choices and found as he lived he needed to make some different choices. Why do these things happen? The very thing that we've been taking to solve the problem, information, is now seen to be the cause of the problem, the information that we have been imbibing. Well, the Bible gives us an answer to this seeming contradiction. But as many other things in the Bible, often it's looked upon as a myth or just religion. Actually, we in the Church of God have heard this answer many, many, many times. And I think from what happened in the Church of God some years ago, we at that time dismissed the biblical answer and went looking for a better, more relevant answer elsewhere. many people in the Church of God quite a few years ago got so tired of hearing this answer that they closed their eyes, they closed their ears, they dismissed the sound of the words, and they never wanted to personally revisit that answer. Do you have any idea what that was they got tired of hearing? I've heard this so many times. The answer to this dilemma is found in the story of the two trees. The two trees. That is the answer to many of man's problems. His approach to his acceptance or not acceptance of the understanding, which is a marvelous bit of information, is the two trees. And it's not talking about oak and mesquite. It's talking about two different trees. The tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good, which we don't realize sometimes, and evil. It is a tree that has a mixture. And part of the mixture is good. Children have told their dad and mom, it's good out there in the world. It's good. You're telling me it's evil. Well, it's not all evil. There's a lot of good out there. And that's true. There is. But this mixture that has the pharmaceutical, shall we say, has a lot of good in it, but it has things that are not right, not good, and then mixed in between, you can't see it sometimes until you've participated in it, and by that time the bad results are coming in. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You all know the story starts in Genesis 2, verse 7, where it says God formed man, Adam that is, of the dust of the ground. You and I weren't formed from the dust of the ground, but we have come genealogically from Adam. And so in that sense, we have come from the dust of the ground, and we return to the dust of the ground. When we die, we go back to the dirt. Some people say, you treat me like I'm nothing but dirt. Well, in a right way, we did come from the dirt, and we have many of the same chemicals in us that the dirt has. Man was formed from the dust of the ground, as said in Genesis 2, verse 7. We grow physically after that. We have a brain. We have a spirit that's in us. We have a mind. But from birth, at birth, I should say, we don't have the experience. We have a marvelous brain. We have a wonderful mind at birth. It's just incomprehensible how great that thing is. It's in our brain, in our mind, or our skull, I should say. This mechanism that is just that big, and it functions like a computer used to, take a whole room or two or three for that computer to function, and it couldn't function as well as this little thing that's right up here between our ears. We have the marvelously wonderful mind, but at birth, we don't have the experience. We have to learn from experience or from being taught how to have a good life. So man was offered the tree of life, and he was allowed to participate in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll find in verse 8 it said that he planted a garden, put him there, and then it says he made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight. Then it mentions that there were some other trees, two other trees. And it is amazing how wonderful the results are from trees. Have you ever wondered what it was like where you live, in the state we live in the USA we live in, if there were no trees? No trees. flat land, no trees, nothing but the horizon to look at. When it rained, no trees to stop the rain. When it, whatever, no trees at all. So God planted trees, but in addition to those, it says there was the tree of life. It was in the middle of the garden. Then there was this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Nothing said about it at the time, just that there were those two trees. And then skipping down to verse 15, it says, God took the man, put him into the garden to tend it and keep it. That is to make it beautiful instead of destroying it as we have the earth. And then in verse 16, and this shows the way God thinks toward us, that he is a generous father, a generous God, and what he gives is good. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, except, I don't know, in life there are always the exceptions. And we have to learn to deal with the exceptions, whether the exception is good or whether the exception is bad. You can eat anything you want, all you want of it, except this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which meant they could have eaten of the tree of life. So why didn't they? Well, you know, and I know it was wrong information. They accepted wrong information. At least one of them did, and the other didn't. He didn't care one way or the other. He just followed his wife and didn't pay much attention. He accepted wrong information also. You can eat all you want of all the trees, but leave that tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. You're going to have troubles. In the day you eat of it, you shall, it says, die. Well, they didn't die immediately. It means dying, you will die. There will be troubles in life. It will diminish the goodness of life. If we analyze these two trees, we see that one is the source of life. And this tree gives man all that he ever wanted. But today it's looked on as religion. We don't want religion, we want life. Well, God offered us the tree of life. It's symbolical of his laws, his ways, his cultures. The other is this mixture of good and evil. There's a lot of good there. The children are right, Dad. They're good people out there. They do good things. That's true. We just didn't acknowledge that, but it is true. But the knowledge that is given sometimes has wrong information about life, and the results of following that are such that you then have trouble in life. People say, well, it's not bad if it doesn't hurt anybody. Apparently, good people, of and by themselves, are not able to recognize and properly deal with this mixture. How could they? Eve looked at the tree. It looked good. She thought it was good. There wasn't anything that could tell her on the surface, you ought to leave that alone. The only thing that told her to leave it alone was God's word. She heard what God said, or if Adam told her, that is, she knew about it. But she accepted wrong information, and she chose the wrong information over God's ways because it didn't seem to matter. Wrong information. As I said, what is the cause of this problem? He imbibes wrong information. And he makes his decisions based on that wrong information that he or she has imbibed. If you don't have experience, how do you know? I mean, a child doesn't know he should not put his hand to the hot stove. They don't know that until they've seared their hand. And then they're never going to touch that again. But they've already done damage to the hand. Often, in the moral aspect of life, it doesn't appear like it will make any difference, and you're not really going to hurt anybody if you fool around But then they find from experience that it's not necessarily that way. They have imbibed wrong information from somebody. They accepted it, and then they had to take the consequences. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They imbibed the wrong information. They accepted it, and they had to take the wrong consequences or deal with the wrong consequences. We, on our own, apart from God's Word, do not see the danger until we have imbibed the mixture. Christmas looks really, really nice. It has a lot of good in it of giving. And it seems so wonderful. But if you don't know the history of it, the reason for it, where it came from, and what it really is telling you, then if you keep it, then it's not going to kill you, but it certainly doesn't teach you the knowledge of God's truth. There are a lot of things like that in life that it seems nice, good. It doesn't seem evil, and on the surface it isn't, but it has just a little bit of that poison in it, like the pharmaceutical, that you will get wrong results once you take part in it. I think we all assume that we can tell the right from the wrong on our own. I'm white, free, 21. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. Oh, yes. Well, wake up and smell the roses that died because of the poison. Look around you. Stephen Covey, who was the author of the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, gives a humorous example that illustrates what I'm talking about. You probably know what I'm going to say, but he talks about people who lean a ladder on the side of a building and start climbing that ladder in order to reach the top. And they climb and climb, and finally they climb all the way up to the top, and then they discover that they've made a horrible mistake. They leaned the ladder against the wrong building. And they wasted all the time and effort climbing the wrong ladder at the wrong building. That's funny, you laugh about it. But in life, it ain't funny if you did that. I mean, if you imbibed the information, lived by it for many years, and then through experience and the results of it, you find that's not what I really wanted. Why? Imbibing inappropriate information. And I use the word imbibing. We took it into not just into our ear, but into our mind, into our body, into our being, into our life. And we use that incorrect information to build our life on. Ultimately, we had to take the consequences. We assume that we can tell right from wrong and know the difference. What we don't know is, as a child and as an adult at times, is that we as human beings are marked by a certain being who has very powerful influence, and he's able to influence us, and we are willing to imbibe his information. And we don't know the difference in the results until we've experienced the difference of the results. Let's go to Genesis 3. This is this ancient religious story about a little girl and a being in a garden. And the results of it. The serpent was more cunning than any beast. Cunning means deceitful. He said, and why did he happen to be there in the garden, and why did he approach her, and why did he say it the way he said it? Has God indeed, are you sure of that? You're not to eat every tree of the garden. He was placing a doubt in her mind. And when we as people begin to doubt, we're not as strong as we are when we know for sure. And the woman said, Well, she didn't know who this being was. She didn't know why he was there. She didn't know the results of imbibing his information. She was innocent. She was naive and sweet as could be. A good person. Didn't have any experience, though. She'd never seen this being before. She didn't have any idea who he was or why he was there. And she didn't have any idea how his information would impact her life. She said, well, it is true that he said we're to eat of the fruit of the trees, but we're to leave alone this tree in the middle. And he even said we shouldn't even touch it. So the information was a little bit garbled. And he said, well, God knows better. That's not really going to happen. And you know the story. It said, God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. No, you'll be able to make decisions yourself. We all want to come to that point in life that we can determine good from evil. We can determine right from wrong. We can channel our own life. That's what conversion is all about, learning that from God's Word. God intends that we ultimately come to that condition in life, that status in life, that we, having His mind, His ability, can determine right from wrong and live the difference of right and wrong. We will always choose right. Well, as I said, the pharmaceutical company put out a product that appeared to be fine and you couldn't tell the difference, but when you used it, it had bad results. So she couldn't tell the difference and she took of it, and you know the circumstances. It looked like it was going to work. It would look like it'd make a person wise. And so she took it and said, oh, honey, look at this. Why don't you try this? I like it. And I'm not putting her down. I mean, the man would have done the same. Then they realized this is not what we should have done. They never knew the real truth till afterward. That is always the case in life. You do not know for sure at times until you've done it and found out from experience what the results are and will be. All around us today in this world, we see the mixture of good and evil. Billy and I were talking about this and coming over. Have you noticed if you watch certain movies, some of them that are horrible all the way through the movie, but they always turn out good? And you have this good feeling is that the boy found the girl boy married the girl, and they lived happy ever after, and everything was hunky-dory. And you forget all about the horrible things that happened all the way through the movie. They talk about, you know, they want you to look at the character was there, the sincerity, the integrity of the person at last, and all of the good things, and that somehow makes you forget about all of the bad things in the movie. A mixture of good and evil. Why does it have to be that way? Why does man have to find out the hard way? Imbibed wrong information. Didn't have the knowledge of the truth fully in his mind. Didn't look for it. So all around us today we see this mixture of good and evil. On the surface, it's pretty good, pleasant. But underneath, it may have a pagan origin that you're not aware of. And you find out that it really isn't all that pretty. You find out that the fine print shows you didn't read it all properly. There is something missing. And it takes a while to see what is missing. In our former literature, we often talked a great deal about the missing dimension. The missing dimension. In almost everything, there is a missing dimension. Something's missing. The whole story is not being told. The whole accurate story is not being told. We talked about the missing dimension in religion. the missing dimension in finance, the missing dimension in sex, the missing dimension in education, the missing dimension in nutrition. Do you need anything you want? The missing dimension in government. Why can't they solve the world's problems? What is missing in the governments of this world? The missing dimension. The missing dimension. Wrong information. What is the missing dimension? Well, let's look at the example of life in ancient Israel, and maybe we can see the answer emerging. Let's go to Jeremiah 2, verse 13. And you will see why the world cannot solve its problems. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. God speaking to Israel about their lifestyle and the mistakes and why life didn't go the way they had wanted it to go. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." Now that's what Eve did. That's what Adam did. They forsook God. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that don't hold water, can't hold water. They have rejected the knowledge of God's ways and taken to themselves knowledge, information of their own from some other source. And they have their difficulties." Let's back up a little bit and take a broader view of this, beginning in verse 5. Thus says God to Israel, "What injustice have your fathers found in me?" I mean, why don't we trust God? Why don't we believe his ways totally instead of looking elsewhere? "They have gone far from me. They followed idols." In other words, they got their own God, some other form of God, and they've become idolaters. Then you find in verse 7, "I brought you into a bountiful country to eat fruit of its goodness. But when you entered the land, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." And then you'll find the ones that should have been leading properly didn't. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And those that handled the law didn't know me. They didn't live by his ways. The rulers have transgressed against me. Then skipping to verse 11. "As a nation changes its gods, which are not gods, my people have changed their God and their glory and his glory. For what does not profit?" Then in verse 13, he plainly says, as I read before, "They have committed two. They've rejected me, and they've said accepted something in my place." Skipping down to verse 21, "I planted you a noble vine, a seed of the highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" Poison ivy. I learned that badly about a month ago. I went out to remove something in the backyard in the woods behind there, and I couldn't get it out of the ground. It was stuck, and I noticed that the vines were the reason, and I pulled and pulled, and I didn't have on any gloves. If you look at my hand, it's awful. Still is. Weeks later, I got poison ivy. And I have never had anything that bad. It was a degenerate plant of an alien vine that I got hold of. And I ain't ever going to do that again, God willing. And I know he's willing. I got to be wise. So he said, "You have rejected me and you've taken up with something that is an alien vine." Then in verse 27, it's kind of funny. He says, "Have you talk to a tree and you say, 'You're my father.' and to a stone, you gave birth to me. They've turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they're going to say, arise and save us. Well, where are your gods? Why won't they save you? They have imbibed wrong information. Israel, which was to be a model nation with God's blessing, like Adam and Eve, assumed they could choose the correct ways on their own apart from God. And they didn't see the error until they had to take the consequences of their choices, their actions, and their lifestyle. So that brings up the question, why do good people have bad results? Why do good people have bad results? It's always the same two things. They nudge God and His Word off to the side of the road, and they follow information from another source. The results are always the same. The results are not what they thought and what they wanted. It's always that way. Has been, is, and will be until the kingdom of God. You'll find the underlying principle for all of this in Romans 1, and we read this often. And I don't mean to harangue on it, just to point it out as information. Romans 1 and verse 22. God speaks plainly. He's not condemning. He just shows the reason why. And it is universal of mankind, depending on the degree of it. Romans 1 and verse 22 says, professing to be wise, in other words, professing themselves to be wise, or, as Eve was told, you don't need to listen to God. You're smart enough on your own. You can figure it out. And many things we can figure out. But the rules of life, no. God's laws, no. The Sabbath especially, no. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like an animal or a bird, creeping things. In other words, they forsook God and they built their own God. They got rid of the information from God and imbibed incorrect information from another source. And so in verse 28, the one that we read often, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge because it inhibited them. As many people say, the law of God, that's inhibiting. I don't like to be told that way. So God, it says, gave them over to it. In other words, He just allowed them to do their own thing and to take the consequences. That's all. He allowed me, He allowed you, He allowed anybody who does that to take the consequences of their way. And if they're happy with that, wonderful. If they're not, then they need to make some changes. We're no different as a Christian from Adam and Eve in ancient Israel. We constantly have to face God's law, and we have to navigate the pitfalls of this society. In biblical language, and I hate to use those terms, but that's what it is. In biblical language, it's called choosing between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have to make a choice. You know, I know, we all know, it always comes down to that. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. And if we don't make a choice, we've already made a choice. If we don't make the choice, then we already have made the choice. Leave me alone. I'm not interested. It's called choosing between the tree of life, which God said you can eat all you want. It answers all the questions. It gives you all the good things you ever dreamed of and wanted. And if you take this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it'll be all right for a while. But finally, you'll bite into that little small part of poison that's in there. And it won't be so good. And you won't know that till after the fact. It's the fine print that gets us in trouble. We want this object, and all you have to do is say yes to this advertisement. And then they fast forward to fine print, and you can't even hear what they're saying, but they're telling you all the reasons why you probably ought not to have this, but they don't want you to hear it. The problem for us who are asked to choose between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the problem with us or for us is there is a lot of good out there. That makes it sound, well, wait a minute. Why do I have to choose? There's good out there. It's very attractive. It's very appealing. Until we finally read the fine print or experience the fine print. Then in that fine print, we see there is a small amount of poison in the item, in the tradition, in the action, in the thing that we did. It's small, but it is poison, and it will give us trouble later on. So we have to choose. It's a big part of our Christian journey. It's a huge part of our Christian journey to decide, to make choices. And we can do it. It really isn't impossible. God didn't ask us to do something we can't do. We have a wonderful brain. It's a marvelous thing we have between our ears. We can do it. God says we can. And He urges us to do that in Hebrews 5, verse 14. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul was talking to the Hebrews, the Jews in Jerusalem, who had been around for a long time. Apparently, I don't know all the reasons, but they were poor. They had given their money to the church, and now they were being persecuted because they believed in Jesus as the Messiah. And apparently, some were getting tired and worn out. So in Hebrews chapter 5, and when we get tired and worn out, we sometimes are not as conscious of what is going on and are not as alert as we ought to be. So in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 14, in the New King James, it said, solid food. You know, like red beans, vegetables, the good foods, the natural foods. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Though it is true, we have to grow up and learn. That is, those who by reason of use, which we call it experience, by reason of use or experience, have their senses exercised to discern. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. They have experience. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We shouldn't be naive. We should be able to recognize evil. We don't run from it in the sense that, you know, pull up our holy skirts, but we realize that's not for me. I could have it if I wanted it, but it isn't for me. It won't give me all that I want. And so solid people, educated, experienced individuals realize, yeah, I could do that. Nothing's going to stop me. But if I do, I'm swallowing improper information, and I don't want the results. They are able to discern between good and evil. How can we do that? Well, we have the same influence that Adam and Eve had. We have the same desire like all the other nations. We can choose the better of two trees. We can choose the missing dimension. We can shun the tree of the mixture of good and evil. We can choose the tree of life. Well, the tree of life was thousands of years ago. What is the tree of life in today's language? We'll find that in Hebrews also, chapter 4 and verse 12. You know, we always wanted to be relevant. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, "The word of God is a living and powerful word, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This talks about conscience. If he can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, then it is talking about conscience. The relevance of the tree of life today, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is, it says, it is a discerner. We talk, though you don't have much about it in the Bible, we talk about our conscience. Let conscience be your guide. When we callous our conscience, when we do contrary to what we know to be right, we are producing wrong results. So the relevance is we learn to listen to our conscience. We learn to discern the right information. We learn not to callous our conscience. And we will begin to make right choices. Because when you callous your conscience, it's a deliberate thing. And it keeps you from making right choices. Listen to your conscience. Your conscience is not always the guide. But if your conscience is bothering you because you have had proper information given and you have calloused your mind on it, listen. As I said, we can't do this. God asks us to do it. Maybe it is time that we should return to the story of the two trees. You know, people said, "I've heard that so much, I'm sick and tired of it." So, is it true? Then we should listen to it. We should become so intimately aware of it that we can explain it. Maybe we can glean strength and inspiration to change our ways when we fully understand and follow the rules and guidelines, the information of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this mixture. The tree of the knowledge and good and evil, it is a very attractive mixture. But ultimately it produces bad results. And the tree of life, that tree that has the missing dimension, God's word, that has truly the good answers and the good results in life. We should begin to imbibe the tree of knowledge of the tree of life and resist the desire to imbibe the tree of this mixture. Did you know that in the kingdom of God there's only one tree? You say, "I want to be in the kingdom of God." The knowledge of good and evil tree won't be there. Let's look in Revelation 22, first couple of verses. There's only one tree mentioned for those who will be in the kingdom of God. Here God is speaking through John the Apostle, an older individual who has learned through experience, great experience. Talks of New Jerusalem here on the earth after the millennium, the second resurrection and the third resurrection, the New Jerusalem, the family of God. We'll find this in Revelation 22, the first two verses. "He," the angel, "showed me, John, a pure river of water of life." Now, food is called about, we talk about the bread of life. And it is true that we live from the food, but if you never, ever, ever have water, your body is impacted, your life When you're totally dehydrated, a lot of things happen. But it talks about this water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of the mixture of good and evil. No, it's not there. That was for the first 6,000 years, or first, yes, 6,000 years. The tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit, there for the healing or the health of the nations. And the new resurrection, why would the nations need to be healed? That's already over, but to give health to those nations. And there was no more curse. If we want to be in the kingdom of God and a teacher or a mentor or a solid pillar in the temple of God in New Jerusalem, then I think it is important that we revisit the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Maybe it's time that we do return to this story in order to more accurately adhere to only the tree that will endure, which is called the tree of life. That being the case, why should we ever imbibe this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this poisonous mixture that causes ultimately wrong results in a person's life? Ultimately, there will be one tree. We will be there because we have followed that. This other tree won't be there, and those who have followed it and adamantly persist in following it will not be there. So our future is impacted by our decision, tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yeah, I hope we can just give you a little bit of a different glance toward the tree of the knowledge and good and evil and the tree of life, the two trees. I know in years gone by we've heard it so much we're sick and tired of hearing it. But it's very, very, very important to life, to a good life, an enjoyable life, a life that you would live for a long time. Well, it's good to be here with you. As I said, I bumped a couple of good guys. I didn't ask them. Well, I may have hinted, but I said, I'm coming. Nice to be with you again.